thank you so much for this privilege of being here together today among the company of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we just pray that your message would be clear and true today, that you would speak through Brad as he speaks today, that you'd give him your words and your thoughts to these people. Lord, encourage our hearts and sharpen us, and help us to hear what we need to hear. Help us to change and take action on your words. Lord, we do believe that as the rain and snow come down from heaven, so your words, as they come forth from your mouth, they do not fail to achieve what you sent it for, sent them for, which is our salvation and our sanctification, Lord. So we are praying and we're holding on to that prayer this morning. We thank you for this morning and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Sammy, take it away. It's on. I think it's here. I'll just keep it handy. I hope
Hello.
So.
You probably want this up.
I can just
make it stuff
wing
up.
It. No, I don't want to wing it.
Yeah, please. Not a good idea. We're scared.
There you go.
Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell the people of Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near to me. We have fasted for you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you didn't even notice it. I will tell you why I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, "Yes, I am here." He will quickly reply, "Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as the moon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken." Isaiah 15.
It wasn't in the announcements, but next week there is a workshop for Pinewood Derby. So if you want to work on your Pinewood Derby car, come here and bring tools. Because I don't have a lot of tools. And there's not a lot of tools here. I think we have like 20 screwdrivers and that's it.
Yeah,
maybe a hammer and some duct tape.
You got like four hammers.
Four hammers?
Yeah.
Cool.
Brad, when is it?
So it's next Sunday. It'll be right after church, probably about an hour or so. I'm picking up the track this Saturday, hopefully. So we should be able to set the track up and test a little bit if you want to. So yeah, it'll be fun. So that's a Pinewood Derby. If you don't know what Pinewood Derby is, Google it. It's really cool. It'll make a lot more sense next Sunday if you still don't know. So yeah, cool. But What are we talking about today? Hey, Annette fixed my grammar. That's great. Yeah. Because before it was just like no punctuation whatsoever. Too fast or not too fast? That is the question. And look at that. It's actually, it's, yeah. Okay. I'm not prepared right now. Let's get this all situated. Yeah. So Isaiah 58. So, okay. So last week, not last week, I was here last week. Two weeks ago? I don't know. Well, last time Jeff spoke on Isaiah 57, and that was that talk. That chapter talked a lot about self-righteous Israel being blind to their own sins, but finding it hard to believe that God would call those who were sinners, who were other. And this week, we're going to continue with what was the result of their self-righteousness for selfish gain. So, looking at the beginning of the verses, I didn't put this in there, but that's fine. Can we go to the first? I'm sorry, Annette. I should have had these in there. But,
here, I will import them, and then you'll be able to go back.
Perfect. Okay, cool. So, looking at the beginning of this chapter, we see that Israel is fasting. And it's a step up from the previous chapter. Like, they're no longer worshiping idols instead of worshiping God. They're not sacrificing their children to Moloch. They're not doing all this other stuff. They're fasting. Like, that's a good approach in the right... that's a good step in the right direction. There we go. That's a good word. It's a good step in the right direction, but yet then God's still ignoring them. Their fasting is for selfish gain. They are fasting to have God settle their fights and quarrels instead of doing what God actually wants them to do, so he just ignores them. So if we look back at when Israel was created, God created them as a nation for people. If you look at Exodus 19:6, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I have it here.
We got it.
It's there.
Sweet. So 19:6. So now, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession out of all the nations, for the whole earth is mine. And unto me you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to Israelites. So, that's 19, 16. Okay, cool. So God just said this to Moses. God wants Israel to be a kingdom of priests. What does kingdom priests do? They go out and they spread and they minister to the nations around them and tell them about God. That's not what they're doing here. Like, instead of living God's word, proclaiming the good news, and being, and going against the culture, they are oppressing their people. They're empowering the injustices around them. They are acting as the Pharisees. And if we look at the New Testament, we can see that the Pharisees are described as whitewashed tombs. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly you look righteous, but inwardly your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. That describes exactly the way that God sees these fasting Israelites. Sure, they're going through the steps, they're doing great, but this is just for their own self-righteous gain. And we see that the Pharisees also would like pray. And if you look at the next set of scripture I have from Matthew, when you pray, don't let the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. So their only reward that they're going to get is that they're being liked by the people. And that's, again, almost a direct commentary on what we see in Isaiah 58, that these guys are going to the temple, they're living out their lives, and on the outside it looks good, but on the inside, it's not going so good. And I just want to like reiterate that Isaiah or God, are they're not down, they're not like against fasting. What they're against is the empty religious rituals, which, as you see here, coming straight from Jesus' mouth. He does not want you to be emptily, to be doing empty religious rituals. He wants you to get right with God and make your fasting more than superficial. So God, in Isaiah 58, calls Israel to first stop acting wickedly towards others, and that means getting right with God by stopping the evil they do towards others, and then start acting lovingly toward others, and getting right with God by doing loving things for other people. So if we go back to Isaiah 58, we see Israel's omissions. We can stay here. Israel's omissions from Isaiah 58, 4-7, is that they're oppressing workers, they're fighting and quarreling, they're failing to live free, failing to free the wrongly impressed, imprisoned. I can speak, it's fine, I can read it. It's whatever. So they're overworking their employees, they're allowing oppression to exist, they're failing to feed, shelter, and clothe the homeless, avoiding relatives who need help, pointing fingers, and spreading rumors. So this is all outlined from Isaiah 58:6-7. And typically, when I read scripture, I tend to look at Christians today as Israel. We've been grafted in with them, and we are held to the same standard that Israel was. We are called to be the light in the world and whatnot. And so as I was preparing for this, I talked to David, and we were talking about like what we saw here, and he describes us as the good people sins, or the sin or the sins of omission. There are things we should do, yet we have not. These are all sins that people can sort of just live with without being seen as like a bad person. Like, this isn't the murdering, you're not murdering stuff, you're not stealing from people, but you're just sort of not fully living out God's calling. Like, yeah. So, with that, let's take sort of like a look at what it is that we have, our sins of omission. So, this is all happening in America. So, oppressed workers peeing in bottles in warehouses. The past few years, Amazon has had this claim against them, and they denied it, and it came out to be true. Workers are being overworked and are having to not take bathroom breaks while on the job. They're fighting and quarreling about anything stupid. Yep. There's the imprisoning of innocent people. So there's this project called the Innocence Project, and they work to help those who have been wrongly accused. And to date, there's been 375 people in the United States that have been exonerated by DNA testing, including 21 who served time on death row. And of these people, they served an average of 14 years in prison before exoneration and release. That's happening every day in this nation. People are being wrongly accused. People are wrongly accused. They're being told to confess to something that their crime that they didn't commit, and being persuaded. It's difficult. And there's America's complacent with the oppression of black and brown people. There's lots of evidence for this. We can see just from the past couple years that this is a fully true statement that the minorities in this country, me in particular as well, like people like me are being oppressed, are being treated differently. So we also have a homelessness issue. If you don't know we have a homelessness issue, don't know where you live. I drive school bus, and anytime I go to Portland, I am shocked with how it looks. Like, it's sort of baffling to see that this is happening. And there's pointing fingers. So like any of these issues, if you were to talk about this with someone, they could just point a finger and say, well, no, that's them over there. That's their fault. Politics, like, it's all just pointing fingers. And then there's the spreading of rumors. About political opponents. Like, if you've paid attention to any of our presidential elections in the past 20 years, I don't know of a single election that hasn't had some sort of rumor spread about politics. But, like, it's easy for us to sort of just ignore this, even justify this. Like, I find myself justifying this daily. Like, people that are panhandling, like, well, they're just panhandling, like, looking at the way they dress, I'm like, oh, well, they have nice their clothes than I do sometimes, I'm like, they don't need my money, or that someone else will help them, is that really true? Is this actually, like, the truth? Like, are people actually being imprisoned? Are innocent people actually being imprisoned? Like, is there the oppression of black and brown people? Is this actually a thing? Or maybe they deserve it. Or, like, it's okay, I sponsor a child, I help God in other ways, so I don't need to really worry about this. But, like, that's not what we're called to do. As Christians, we are called to be the light of the world, showing God's love to all of those around us. We see this multiple times throughout the New Testament. So here are a couple examples. So the first example is, bam. Oh wait, no, I forgot, I added this. I just added this before, aha. So, see, it's hilarious. I added something like 2 minutes before I come up here. So this quote is by Shai Lin. So Shai Lin, he's a rapper, Christian hip-hop artist from the East Coast. If you know hip-hop, then East Coast sounds super rad. And is very lyrically based, and he's just super cool. So he came out and wrote this book. He was at the Together for the Gospel conference, and Mark Morley handed me this book called The New Reformation. And it is about ethnic unity within the church. And this quote is amazing. So, no matter what our outward appearance may be, all humans, I used my iPhone to like take this from a picture. So all human beings have the unique honor of being created in God's image. This is the biblical basis for treating all human beings with the dignity and respect that image bearers deserve. This is why slavery in America was evil. This is why many Christians today fight for the rights of the unborn and the elderly. And this is why the pursuit of justice for the poor and marginalized in any society is in line with the heartbeat of God. There we go. That there speaks to all the omissions that we see here in America. That the homeless, the marginalized, the ethnically marginalized people, our political differences, it doesn't matter. We are all created in the image of God. So now we can go to the scripture of that I have from the New Testament about us being called as Christians. So just before this, if you read this right now, you may be able to tell what this is. Anyone that you before me heard me read this like 5 times. So this is the story of the Good Samaritan. Just before this, Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? And the guy was like, so who's my neighbor? Jesus replied, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." And we are called to go and do the same. And then there's another example. "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." There's one more, I believe. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" So those three examples show us that we are meant to love our neighbors, and our neighbors are the ones that we don't get along with. A Samaritan was somebody that was from a partial Jewish bloodline. It would have been the Jews that mixed with the Canaanites, those who were against God's people. They were the ones that were despised. They were the ethnic minority in much of Israel. And it would have been surprising for a Samaritan or a Jew to have a conversation. We are called to be the light of the world. We are called to show God's love to everybody, to all of those that are around us. And when we do it, we're not doing it to those people. We don't do it for our own gain. We all do it for the glory of God. It is God who is glorified through our actions. And like this list, these are just three examples. Read the New Testament, it's all over the place. Read Paul's epistles, I don't know if there's a single letter of Paul that doesn't have some issue, some social injustice. And we as Christians are meant to live out God's love. And yeah, and when that happens, that's when we get to verses 10 to 11 that describe Israel being the light of the world. That's when we get where it says, "Feed the hungry and help those in trouble, then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon." Like, that's crazy. The brightest time in the day is what all the injustices and darkness are going to be like. God's light is going to be so strong in there. "The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. you will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. We don't have to worry about us giving to the marginalized, us giving to the homeless, us giving our time to those who are wrongly accused. We don't have to worry about that because God will sustain us through all of it. God will give us the strength. God will give us everything we need in order for us to live His love in this world. And that is the kingdom of God. Like, I have been challenged over the past couple of weeks by the Holy Spirit to change my mindset towards all these injustices. All this has been brought to the front of my mind. I've had conversations with David. Are you before me, retreat? Focus on loving others and focus on loving our neighbors. I was asked by Nathaniel Vanderkloof, who's a youth pastor in the yearly meeting. He asked me, hey, my youth group's going to be talking about gospel and racism. Can you give your point of view on it? Like, God has been shaping my mind to rethink everything for this. And, like, I don't want Him to stop. I want Him to continue to shape it, me, so that way I cannot go back to being ignorant, to being blind to the injustices that we have, to being blind to everything that is wrong in the world. Because honestly, I wasn't aware of how strong the ethnic injustice in our nation was until the police shootings that happened a few years ago. It wasn't until then that I allowed my ignorance to go so strong that I was blind to the division that we have. And now it just breaks my heart to see it. And failing to go against all these injustices, there are sins of omission. There are things that we should have gone against this entire time. And walking right with God, we must open our eyes and do what is our loving duty before Him. We must love our neighbors. We must love those who are different than us. We cannot be blind to this. And that's what Isaiah 58 is.